Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Scary Stories by the Campfire. We are your hosts tonight, Jeremy.
And
Jason.
And we are here, back in Maine, with the Pet Cemetery.
That would be Ludlow, Maine.
Well, Maine. I mean, every Stephen King is bad with Maine.
Which is apparently on the other side of Derry.
Yeah, 20 miles from Derry.
I presume.
20 miles
from Derry. Well, I mean, I guess. Is that official?
I mean, the sign said 20 miles, so I'm gonna guess it was true.
It could have been anywhere between, because she was driving to Ludlow, and she was 20 miles from Derry, so it could have been anywhere on the other side of Derry.
True. But still, maybe she's driving through Derry to get to it.
Yeah, maybe. Which is a fun, if everyone who's been following us, it's a fun little nod to It.
Yeah.
The other Stephen King movie we watched a while back. We actually covered it. I think It Part 1, the original It with Curry in it, is I think it's still our highest viewed video on YouTube at this moment.
I think it is too.
But we are actually tonight talking about Pet Cemetery, and this is actually the remake. So
hey,
there's gonna be a lot of comparisons in this one.
Hey, Clayton.
I'm pretty sure this one's been. Oh, we got.
Yep, Clayton's in. Welcome back, buddy. It's been a while.
Okay. Yeah. So we're gonna be probably doing a lot of comparing and talking about what we liked, what we didn't like about this film compared to the other one. So, Jeremy. Have you ever seen this movie? Did you ever see this movie?
No.
Before this?
Nope. I never actually watched this one. I knew John Lithgow was in it, but I just never got around to watching it.
And what did you think?
I mean, it's more modern. They definitely tried to, definitely made it more modern, but I don't know. I feel like it was lacking the charm of the original.
There's some aspects I like about it. It's kind of like when you grew up on a game, and at the time you're like, oh man, these graphics are amazing, and the clunky controls, just like, this game is so cool, and you just have this fond memory of it, and then they remake the game. But they don't, like, entirely remake it. You know, it's still relatively the same game, same stuff. It's just the graphics are updated. It's a bit, the controls are a bit more modernized. You're like, ooh, I kind of like this. But it just doesn't have the same feelings as the last, you know, as your childhood game.
Well, let's start with it. Let's look at the characters first.
Okay. Let's briefly just talk about the story real quick, because pretty much the story is the same.
It's the exact same. If anybody who's seen Pet Cemetery, the OG one, or they watched our podcast from 2 weeks ago, it's
except
the exact.
Jeremy, they didn't kill Gage in this one. This one was
we'll get to that.
Okay.
But let's just for a second.
Just for a second.
Let's compare the creeds as a whole.
Okay, creeds as a whole.
Which creeds did you like better? Did you like newer creeds, or did you like older creeds?
Newer creeds.
Why? Oh, good. Reaper, I'm glad you got it working.
I like the newer creeds because they
actually watch their kids, except for a couple times.
They've... Well, I want to say like maybe the older Creeds had the original Creeds had kind of like a more of a family dynamic per se. Because you, in that one, the wife and the husband were having problems. It seemed like they were kind of fighting. I guess it never explained it. And but there was this weird, and Raven actually did point it out to me in the original movie, and I think even in this one. In this one, whenever Gage would,
the heck is that?
That's the fire alarm. We are smoke detector. Just went off. It's all good. There's just some cooking happening in the kitchen right now.
Great. You're gonna be burning the house down on our podcast.
No, no one's burning the house down. These things are very sensitive. I'd be cooking something on the stove and then they'll just go off. Southern Raven picked up on is that whenever in the original movie, and I don't know about this one too much, but I think it's about the same. Whenever Gage says like, "Hi daddy, I love you," or says "I love you" to the dad, he never responds back with an "I love you." It's just weird. It's like he always, and there always seemed to be like favoritism towards Ellie than there was Gage in the original movie. And this one, Gage is barely in it, I think. He barely plays any sort of role. It's all about Ellie in this.
Although the mom dropped him out the window.
Yes, she did. She did drop him out the window.
All right. Well, what about I'm already drawing a mind blank.
Oh, is this going to be the con? Is this actually what I was going to ask you, Jeremy? Which Judd did you prefer? Because this is very kind of a tough one. You didn't even tell me your Creed.
Oh, no, sorry. A lot of the same reasons. It seemed more family oriented in the new one.
And the dad had a little bit more personality, it seemed like. In the old movie, he was just kind of almost this straight, oh no, things is happening. He's very kind of mellow about the entire thing. And this one just seemed like he had a little bit more personality, a little bit more something. And the mom was even more likable.
I did like the mom in this one more than the last one.
She had more personality and a sense of character. Okay, so
Judd,
the big one, Judd.
So
I'm gonna go.
You're gonna go with who?
I'm going to go with original Judd.
Why?
Why? Because this... John Lithgow, right, did a great job in this. Okay? Don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm sitting here going, oh my God, he was so bad. No. I think the problem is... with his character in this is that I don't think he's written well enough for my taste to follow into the story as well. The Judd in the older movie, he comes over after he, I think he rescues Gage out of the road from the passing truck. Right. And he lives right across the street. Like they go out their house, they can see his house. This Judd in this movie, I think he lives further out in the woods a little bit. So he's not so, close to home per se. And the Judd in that movie, in the original movie, you do get to feel his connection with the family. All right. He gets to talking with the dad. They spend time together. The dad goes over there and drinks beers with them. When Ellie's cat Church gets killed, he offers him, "Hey, I'm going to walk you to this place." And at that point, it felt like their friendship had been established.
Yeah.
In this one, it just doesn't feel like there's much of a connection as there should be. I mean, I guess he gets more attached to Ellie. Like Ellie's the central focus of this movie, apparently, and Judd in this one, in the remake, you know, he even says, "Oh, you know, you've made me feel something that I haven't felt, you know, in a while. Or you touched me, you know." I don't know how exactly he describes it. He had some sort of connection with Ellie that, you know, connected him to the family. But I think in the older movie, his connection was through Lewis, and it just made the bond to the family better than I think it did in this one. You know, your kid goes out to a pet cemetery and creepy next door neighbor shows up, and you walk out there and you find your little girl with him. It's almost like a red flag. Like, can I like help you? What are you doing with my kid? You know?
Yeah. So I'm kind of like Reaper. I have a soft spot for Lithgow, but I agree with everything. The biggest kicker is just Fred Gwynne is just a phenomenal actor. He really took that role and just made it. He had he created this character that you connected to immediately. And I feel like it just takes so much longer for us to get that same connection with this one, with the original, or with the remake Judd. Like you said, don't get me wrong, props to John Lithgow, because he just did absolutely a stellar job with what he was given. But I think you're right on that sense. It just took way too long, and it just started feeling weird until the connection was made.
I think overall Lithgow just knocked it out of the park. And in some aspects, I would prefer his Judd over the original. You know, because when he's talking about like his wife and stuff like that, and you know, it makes his character a little bit more in depth, because I don't think we ever actually hear about anything from the original Judd, like about his past. Besides that incident with the Bittermans or whatever.
Yeah.
I forgot what their last name is. Actually, they play a role in the next movie. But you just don't get a lot of backstory from him, but you get more on Lithgow. But like I said, I think the backstory isn't as good if the connection to the family is not that good. So, I mean, he did a wonderful job. I just don't think the character was written for the family. And this movie just seemed like it wasn't. If anyone is, and we're going to get to it here in a little bit, but if anyone ever actually read the book, the original movie is actually the closest to the book than this movie. This movie takes some risks, and I think a lot of it just does not work. But
I almost feel like this one was a cash grab.
I mean, to an extent, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Did this movie come out before or after It, like the remake It? I just didn't know if we were like starting to experience some sort of resurgence of remakes.
I believe it was out after.
Oh, okay, so it may be in the sense that, I don't know, maybe It just did really well and they're like, hey, Pet Cemetery next, maybe?
Yeah, the first It came out in 2017.
Okay.
Which means this came out in 2019.
This came out 2019?
Yep.
This movie feels a whole lot older. Oh my goodness. I did not realize it was so young. I mean, I get, well, we're in 2024 now, so I mean, I guess it's not really that young. It's five more years, it'll be a decade.
Then we've got one more character to compare.
Church.
Yes.
First of all,
ruined my build up.
I thought you could talk about what's his name? What was the ghost?
Oh, I don't know.
Who was that ghost guy? Pascal?
No, I was going to talk about church. No, actually, I was going to bring up the Wendigo, but that's besides the point.
Oh, yes. Okay, so church, definitely remake church.
Remake church just looks so much angrier and scarier.
Yeah, he's just... maybe because I have cats that actually look like that. We actually had a... there was a... The original church. Because I think if you look at the book cover, it's kind of like the cat in this movie. I think it's more of its style. I do not know why they used like a smoky gray cat in the last one. I don't know. I mean, maybe they changed covers or something. I just wasn't aware. But we actually had a cat in the trailer park that we used to live. He's a big gray cat. Looked just like that one. I never realized it at first because, you know, pets, I didn't watch a whole lot of Pet Sematary or anything like that. But after we watched it a couple weeks back, I was like, oh, my God, that's that cat. But, yeah, I like this cat. I know there's probably a lot of CGI involved to kind of give him those angry eyes. I'm hoping that it was just the cat itself just sitting there like angry eyes. But, like.
Whole angry eye cat.
Yeah, this cat, I think, also had a little bit more personality than the original church did. Just the way that the cat acts and whatnot. And he even went kind of deadite on Lewis there in this movie. Did you remember that?
Yes.
So if you remember the last movie and the story, when Lewis takes down Church after he's been brought back and he's been a bad, bad kitty cat, he pretty much pins him down and overdoses him on morphine, which kills Church, right? In this movie, he was going to do it a whole lot sooner. He puts on his gloves, he snatches him up, he's getting ready to like give him the shot. And Church, who's all angry at him, he kind of looks over at him and is like, why? Why you want to do this to me? He's just got like this sad kind of face, and Lewis just...
That was a weird cutout.
That's probably going to be the easiest way to do that.
There you are.
Yep, there I am.
So... There were four cats used in the making of this film.
They all looked the same, I suppose.
Actually, there were technically five, but one of them ended up being dropped after getting scared on the set.
Wow, that's sad. Was that the one that was almost hit by a truck?
And then they... actually, I had to keep one of them separate because it didn't get along with the other three. That must have been the angry one that was the reborn cat.
The angry cat that you brought out on set. Actually, our cats are very similar to that. They when we brought our second cat in, they did not get along very well. But now they're like BFFs. They just run around and play and get into trouble.
Oh, unfortunately, in 2019, not long after this movie came out, the main cat who portrayed Church when he was dead, his name was Leo, passed away. R.I.P. Leo.
That was his name, Leo?
Yeah, that was actually his name.
Hmm. All right. So, which cat did you prefer, Jeremy? Oh, you said Remake
New.
Church, right?
No.
New church. So, now, we get into the juicy, juicy bits, Jeremy. So, we talked about the creeds.
Yep.
We talked about Judd. We talked about Church.
Yep.
What about... Okay, I don't think we really necessarily need to talk about Pascal.
No.
But I'm just going to say I kind of like the new one better. Just because it wasn't weird. I mean, first of all, I thought the makeup design on him was really good.
Oh, the brain stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, all that makeup and stuff looked really good, and it makes sense that he would kind of be haunting, you know. I didn't like the fact that the mom, I have it pulled up here, or I did have it pulled up here. Rachel. I didn't like the fact that Rachel was going through all that. Oh, flashback stuff, like she was seeing spirits and stuff.
Oh yeah,
that just seemed kind of out of place for me. I mean, I could understand if like Lewis was experiencing those kinds of things because he had been exposed technically to the pet cemetery, or not necessarily the pet cemetery, but the burial ground. So in a sense, I would be like, oh, that makes kind of sense. He's been to the sacred ground and, you know, he's experiencing these weird things, but the wife, Rachel, not having them consistently is, it just seems kind of weird. And the main reason that I liked the newer Pascal was the fact that when she was on her way, cause he kind of warned her, I guess there was like a sense that he had warned her, when she was over at her parents' house, so she was going to go back to Ludlow and check in on Lewis. And he just drops out of the film at that point. He's gone. He's done. His part was partake. In the old movie, he rode with her in that truck, that semi-truck.
Yep.
And then she gets out and closes the door or whatever. And he's sitting there. He's like, well, this is about all I can do. All right, later. And he takes off with the truck. I'm like, that was not really necessary. You don't need that, buddy. You don't really need that.
No. I don't know. But one thing I did like about this one over the old one was they did kind of dive more into the backstory of...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Say it, Jeremy. Say it.
A Wendigo.
Yes!
Or a Wendigo.
This movie automatically gets props over the original because like I said, I've never read the book. I'm actually wanting to go out right now. Not right now because it's, you know, almost 9 o'clock at night, but maybe, you know, maybe this weekend or at some point, go out and actually pick up the book and read this thing because this interests me. I like this kind of setup. I like this movie. I like this movie. I like the older movie. You know, I actually want to go out and read the book and understand to see where it originally came from. It's kind of like what I've been doing with, I have to get back to it, but I told you that at some point we're going to cover The Ring on here.
Yeah.
Now, I still have to go through and figure out which movies we're going to do because you can't do all of them, because you know, I want to try to do, because you got spinoffs and stuff like that, and we don't need all that. We ain't gonna have time for that. That's like 20 movies.
Yep.
But you know, we kind of hit the main series. But I have the Ring book, and I want to read that before I go into the movie because I really do like that movie, and I want to know what really changes from the source material. So like I said, I want to go out and get this book and really read it. And apparently the Wendigo plays a role in the book, which makes it just completely strange when it's completely left out of the original movie.
Well, let's now show everybody what you're talking about.
Wendigo. You heard a lot about that all over the North Country back in the old days. It was a myth passed down from the local tribes up this way. But to them, it wasn't just some campfire story. They believed it. They feared it.
Some of these are the trees up there.
Yeah, they're warnings. The local tribes carved them before they fled.
Fled?
And they knew the power of that place. They felt its pull. They came to believe that those woods belonged to something else. The ground was bad.
Sour.
And just like that, you get more backstory on what's going on than in the original movie. In that little 30 to 45 snippet.
And that, I mean, that on top of, you know, when they were going out to the woods for the first time, going up to Edenbury Church, in the middle of the night, you hear the howling, you hear the trees cracking, you hear the noises and stuff. And then they come along later and they do this scene where he explains that there's supposed to be this Wendigo out there. You know, it's based on Native American lore and stuff like that. It makes you go, oh. I mean, they kind of did something like that in the first movie, but where they had like the animal in the background and, you know, the trees breaking and stuff like that. But that's it. They don't even mention what it could be, which is really sad. You don't have to give it like true backstory. You don't have to do anything like that. You just mention it, give it a little flavor text, you know, instead of going, I'm still kind of confused on what that thing is out there. Cause if you never read the book, I mean, if you read the book and you know what it's about and you hear the noise, trees falling and whatnot, you go, oh, I bet that's the Wendigo. Then they don't ever mention it. If you never read the book, you just be sitting there confused going, what was out there? Kind of interested on whatever that thing was. Well, guess what? You ain't getting in this movie.
Yep.
This movie skips it.
What? So did you like the fact that they used Ellie as the kid to be killed over Gage? Or did you like tap dancing Gage? I do like how they changed it to the cat being the reason why she got hit over chasing something into the road. But again, what freaking semi is driving 60 down this abandoned road?
Okay, this is also the downfall to this movie, okay? This movie loses points because the speeding truck stuff is completely downplayed. I think maybe there's like a total of two trucks in this.
Yeah, they did the jump scare at the beginning and then the death. And Jason froze for it. Oh, nope, there he goes.
I think to a certain extent, I think the original movie overplayed the trucks a little bit.
Oh, they were all
I over. Mean, it's like... It's like 1 o'clock in the morning and they're speeding through there at 70 miles an hour, you know?
So that jump scare though, or maybe it was the dream sequence the dad had where the truck comes through. It almost reminded me of that scene from Wicker Man with Nicolas Cage where he's on the boat and that car comes out of nowhere and just like smash.
It's been a while since I've seen that one. I'm pretty sure we're going to.
Oh, we'll cover it at some point. Because it's Nicolas Cage, Jason.
Yeah, we should have a Nicolas Cage month. But yeah, I think this movie loses points because of the trucks. They just, it's not emphasized enough.
No, you know,
The problem with the first story was the speeding trucks. You know, this was established that they lived on a street that had these speeding trucks. And these speeding trucks, you know, foretold the death of Gage. You know, now the problem I had with this one was when we actually watched the trailer for it last week.
The trailer gave away so much.
It was, the trailer gave away everything. It told you that it was going to be the Ellie dying. Even had to do the little fake out where she's in the street with church, and Gage makes a break for the road, and then like Dad saves him at like the last second, but that caused the truck to hit Ellie instead. I quite frankly did not like the Ellie bit. I didn't like it.
There was much. One scene that I really did like with her, and I actually chose it for my favorite scene, and it's this one.
You're too late.
Where's Mommy?
Mommy's already feasting on dirt.
It's
what have you done, Al? Come on.
It's that line right there. The way she delivers that line, Mommy's already feasting on dirt. It raises questions of, is the mom still dead at the house? No. Somehow, this little girl drugged Mommy and buried her.
Well, that's very interesting considering that Gage in the last movie, who was only like 2 years old, drug his mom into an attic. So
when you die, I was about to say, when you get reborn at the pet cemetery, do you get like Superman strength?
I
faster than a speeding bullet. It's Gage.
That's kind of the thing that makes it that's kind of both a good and bad for both these movies. With the first movie, Gage is the one, just like in the book. He comes back. He's possessed, I guess. I guess the way they describe it in the book is that he gets possessed by the Wendigo. When you get buried up there, the Wendigo takes your body and just uses it, I suppose.
So he comes back. Then that, I got a question then on that.
Yep.
So the Wendigo takes possession of your body. Okay.
Yep.
Does that mean that if you bury multiple things up there at the exact same time?
Yes, he controls all of them.
He splits his
family of Wendigo.
He splits his body.
Yes, there's a Wendigo dad and there's a Wendigo mom and a Wendigo baby. Baby go.
Frank, you're taking that body. I don't wanna. I said, take it. You're taking the body of the cat. I don't wanna.
I do think in the original movie, Gage being evil in the end was a little bit more terrifying than like 10-year-old Ellie or whatever. But I do like the fact that they... In the new one, the remake, they actually the relationship between Lewis and Ellie was even more established then. You know, because when Gage came back, he just snuck into the house, grabbed the scalpel, went over to Judd's, killed Judd, and then Lewis came over there and killed him.
Yep.
After his wife died over there too, by you know the stupid little "oh my baby, come here," and then he's like holding a scalpel coming at her, and she's just like "come here."
That's also what I liked about the remake was when she first saw her daughter, she like ran away and was like, "What did you do?"
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily running away. It was like, "What?" And then Ellie came up and gave her a hug, and you know Lewis is like, "Just hug her back," and Rachel's like, "Yeah, no, that is not my child. My child is dead. That thing is something else." So I do like that there was more interaction with the dead, per se. Unfortunately, this one, we didn't get fight in the old funeral home.
So,
memorial service punch out.
No, but so... After we did the first Pet Cemetery, I'll show you a bit. I'll send it to you once we get off. A friend of mine sent me a picture, and it shows the truck coming at Gage. And it says, "I get knocked down." Then under it, it's like the zoom in of his face where he's all angry and dead. And it's like, "But I get up again."
Yeah, you already sent me that one. You sent me that one after we watched the...
Oh, did I send it to you? I couldn't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, you sent that to me like right after the first. Well,
I get knocked down and I get back.
But I do like the kind of the interaction, like I said. And at least the Judd death in this movie was changed. Because in the original movie, which is really intense, was that he walks upstairs because he can hear Gage in there. He's looking around his bedroom or whatever. And Gage's arm comes out from underneath the bed and cuts his Achilles tendon. And then goes up there, cuts him across the face, and then proceeds to bite him neck. This one, kind of the same thing. He goes up, he hears Ellie, he goes upstairs, he's looking around. But there's a nice, smooth little move where he sees a picture frame next to the bed. And you think, oh God, he's going to go over there, look at it, and she could come out from the bed and cut his ankle. But he kind of looks, and then he kicks the bed over.
Yeah.
And he looks at him, and she's not there. And you're like, oh, ooh, nice little twist. And then he's going back down the stairs or whatever. That's when she gets him. But that's the downside of it, was when he's lying there and she's talking about how she's going to kill him and he's going to be with his wife or whatever. And he's reaching for his gun or whatever. And he's like, wait, what did he say, John? Was that fun little lie? I'd like to see you try or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, he says something like, I'd like to see you try. And he turns around to grab his gun and she jumps up on top and just starts stabbing him. And I'm like, that was your going out line, man. Your death was kind of cool up to that point because you gave one of those, you're not going to be able to kill me. And then she proceeds to kill you right there. You didn't even really put up that much of a fight. It would have been different if he's like, oh, I'd like to see you try. And he kind of kicks her and pulls the gun and maybe shoots her or something. And then she just gets back up and, you know, then proceeds to kill him. But no, it's like, you know, I like the remake tendon slice better. Actually, yeah.
It was definitely, I do like, you could definitely feel it. I think personally, though, I felt it more with the original one.
I think it was a little bit of both. I think they're both really well done to their own extent. I think the original one was a bit more unexpected. So it's like, oh man, it's, you know, because you're not expecting it per se. In the remake, you know it's coming. It's just, you know, when it happens. But
yeah,
I do actually prefer the. I don't really care for the kid biting too much on the neck. I like the, like, when he slices him across face and kind of gives him that, like, little Joker cut. Or they call those a Glasgow smile or whatever. Where he cuts the cheek all the way across. You know, I thought that was pretty cool. But then, like, when the baby came over, I was like, I'm going to bite on your neck. You know, it's kind of like, ah, now you kind of lost me. It's kind of the same thing with the Judd in this movie where he's like, ah, let's try. And she, you don't even get to see her stab him.
No.
It's all off screen. It's just, like, from underneath her, she just... in, you know,
in her, like, cat mask.
Yeah, I didn't care. I don't understand that. I don't know if that was something that may have been explained in the books, but the whole, that you see, like, the children, the creepy corn on the, you know, children of the corn kids, you know, oh, Jimmy's pet dog died. We got to go have our procession. So everyone get your creepy hillbilly animal masks and pray down the dirt road with our shovels and a wheelbarrow. And then not only that, you're not even not like, you know, like as you're going along, just kind of wave. Hey, how's it going? You know, you just give them like the serial killer look and just kind of look over your shoulder. If he would have been, and all he said was, I think Judd said something about like, oh, that's just something that it's like a tradition that they do.
What tradition is this?
Well, I mean, I can understand if it was like a town tradition that when you take your pet to the pet cemetery, you wear like an animal mask, like if you had a pet die, you wear a mask that kind of resembles the loss of your pet. That makes sense. I can get behind that, you know? And it's just passed on from generation to generation. It's just something this town has always done. But they don't explain that. They're just some creepy homeless kids. Dirty overalls.
Are they homeless, though?
I don't think they're homeless, but the way they look.
That's the other thing about this one. Where's the town?
Yeah, there's no town.
They didn't really do a town in the first one either. They just show the inside of the hospital. Like, how far is town from here? Is it just a hop, skip, and a jump? You know, at least in Pet Sematary 2, it was a terrible movie. But
there's a town.
You see the town.
You get to see the town. This one doesn't feel like much like Maine. I've personally have never been to Maine, so I can't tell you what Maine looks like. Apparently Stephen King spent his entire life in Maine because that's all he ever writes about. But this felt like something like West Virginia.
Hey, Stephen. Hey, Stephen. There's 49 other states in this country. I think you can write about a different state than Maine.
Oh.
Just saying.
He may have, and then they all became like really. Wait, no. I mean, where did didn't he do Shawshank Redemption?
Yeah. Well, he helped write it. Yeah, but it's just funny.
I mean, yeah. I mean, most of his horror stuff comes out of Maine. So, you know, once again, don't really want to go to Maine. But no, it's just like.
By the way, Shawshank takes place in Portland, Maine.
How about Green Mile? Didn't he do that one too? We're gonna go on a Stephen King. We're gonna find something that doesn't come out of freaking Maine.
I found one.
Uh oh.
Wait, no.
What? Oh
god. It was filmed in Oregon, but I think it's. Stand By Me was filmed in Oregon.
I'm not talking about film. I'm talking about where does it take place.
Yeah,
like the
hold
story,
on.
Like the actual. Oh well, Jeremy's doing his research. So, for all of you out there, which one did you prefer more? I'm gonna say that overall.
No, the body takes place in Castle Rock, Maine.
Of course it does. It's the main place to be. Well, I can't believe I just said that. I mean, I guess personally, I just prefer the original. You know, I can't really pick a favorite, I suppose, because I really do like both of them. I think they both do stuff really, really good, and I think they both do stuff really, really bad.
Okay, so it's not a horror, it's science fiction, but The Green Mile takes place in Louisiana. So we finally got one out of Maine.
You got one, yes. It's Louisiana. Oh, God, I think that's... Sorry for all the people who live up in Maine. We're talking bad stuff about Maine. I don't think Maine is like a bad state at all.
It's just funny that every book you read or every big-name book that you read from Stephen King, it all takes place in Maine.
Yeah, and he writes some of like the worst people. Yeah, he just writes really, really bad people and like bullies and you know, just stuff like that. And of course, they're all from Maine, so you know.
And they don't ever explain why any of the bullies are so mean. Like, God. They kind of did in It where they said the entity of It, of the creature, like bled into the people and it made them that way.
Well, I mean, is that like in the book?
Yeah, kind of, a little bit.
Okay, so. So Reaper says that his the remake is favorite, and PJ, if you have an opinion, let us know. I think PJ said that hers is the original, but I'm not entirely sure. Jeremy.
She did.
Yeah, she did.
And I agree. The original.
The original. Absolutely. I'm kind of on the fence.
And overall, it's just because of that charm that the original had.
Yeah, I think...
With Fred Gwynn's delivery of sometimes dead is better.
That is another thing right there, Jeremy. When he says, sometimes dead is better. And he says it like three times within a span of like, I don't know, like a minute. Because he's telling that story about the World War II or the whatever. Was it World War II? I don't know. It was one of those big wars. I can't remember. Talk about how his dad dug up the body, buried it or whatever. And he was telling that story. He's like, sometimes dead's better. And he explains why.
Yeah.
And then he says it again and he continues to tell a story. And then he says it again. Now, I think three times, a bit excessive, but he's laying in a point. He's letting you know, Lewis, that no matter how much you feel, how much you're grieving, times dead is better, preferably to the alternative. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This one, it just seemed like it was kind of, I don't want to say forced, but that's what it just kind of came. Sometimes dead is better.
Yeah.
It doesn't really. I mean, I think he may have referenced the World War II guy, but it didn't go into any sort of great detail. Which is ironic because I think that is what the next movie is about. Bloodlines is actually a prequel to this one by about 50 years, give or take.
Well, let's see what everybody else in the world.
Wait a minute. One more thing before we get into that. Let's talk about the elephant, the Wendigo. Talk about the Wendigo in the room, Jeremy.
What, the lack of one in the first, in the original?
No, the endings to both these movies.
They both suck.
Okay.
The ending to this movie is garbage.
Okay. I did not like the ending to this movie either. I will wholeheartedly put that in there. I will agree with you because remember we were talking about the cleanse. We were talking about the cleanse. You're like, the ending. And I said, okay, you know what? Devil's advocate. This ending I did like. This one? No.
This ending was trash.
this ending was not a very good ending, especially when you can go back, Jeremy, and you can tell me that the original ending was awful. You don't like the original ending. That's your opinion, but that's actually how the book ended, in a way.
It had more closure than this one, but it was still bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the original book, Lewis buries his wife. He goes back. He sits down on the kitchen floor and he starts playing solitaire. She comes in. She puts her hand on his shoulder and she says something like, "Hello, dear," or something like that. And that's where the book ends. So you don't know what happens technically.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just how it ends. His wife's back. Kind of an open ended. You don't like open ended endings, then. You know, okay, but that's how the original movie played out, except for the fact that she killed him.
Mm-hmm.
That's established that she killed him. Just a little touch, give you a little bit of closure. So
I'd much rather if they did it the open ending.
That ending is fine. It's okay. I get it. This one I really did not like because I mean, like, the last movie had a downing ending, and the book is kind of a toss-up. Is it good? Is it bad? We don't know. This one was just an awful ending because... And it happened so fast. I missed it.
Yep.
I pretty much missed it because I walked out of the room for 2 minutes.
Yep.
I walked out of the room and the whole ending is slammed into like a 2 minute sequence where the wife gets killed, she gets buried, she comes back almost instantaneously, kills the husband, he gets buried, and then they go and open-endedly, I guess, kill Gage, which is, first of all, not very much fun, and second of all, it makes it even worse when you see Lewis coming up with, what was in his hand, Jeremy?
I don't even remember.
It was a gas canister.
Oh, yeah.
So either, and they don't show anything, but you hear him walk up and you hear him tap on the window or whatever, and then the screen blacks out and you hear, I guess that was them unlocking the car door.
Yeah.
I don't know why they needed the gas canister if they were just going to smoke him out. And just like, oh, God, this.
At least in the original, the other kid became an orphan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this one, they all got family still. So there's that, but, and I really don't think Gage in this one, like I said at the beginning, Gage didn't have much personality in this one.
No.
I don't care what you say. Gage in the last one had a lot going on. So.
Well.
Okay. That's my rant.
Let's see what everyone else thought. On a scale of 1 to 10 for IMDb, with 98,000 votes, what do y'all think IMDb gave Pet Sematary 2?
Let's see here. You said on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yep, 98,000 votes. And I've got the first one pulled up so we can do a comparison. PJ says 4.
I'm going to give this...
Reaper said 6.5.
Oh, I was just about to say that. Hold on real quick. Because Raven gave me her scores beforehand. So Raven is putting down a 6. I got that down. And I guess I'm going to go with like a... Oh, God. I don't think this movie scored as high. I'm just going to put down a 5.
Alrighty. Reaper, your church, you got plowed over.
Which this movie still didn't make any sense because...
Oh, yeah.
Dead things don't just... Oh, I did like the stitching in this one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Raven, she's Ellie. She also got plowed over. Kerplop! Mom... PJ, you're Gage. You don't know what happened. It got a 5.7 out of 10.
5.7.
And the original got a 6.5 out of 10.
Well, I think in most cases, the remake is always going to get played down a little bit more than the original because it is a remake. But,
well... Let's go to the cemetery meter. And on a scale of 0 to 100, let's look at the critics.
Let's see here.
Raven said a 67 for the critics.
I don't like that. 5.7.
Reaper said a 52.
Go to 63.
All right. All right. Here we go. Jason for Ravenfire. She's Judd.
A lot of people like Judd.
Jason, you're the mom. Don't kill me. I don't like her anymore either.
At least she's taking like a champ.
Reaper, What was the name of that guy, Jason, at the beginning in the hospital?
No, Pascal.
You're Pascal. Your brain is literally falling out your head in the hospital bed. PJ, you are the closest. It was a 57%. With actually, she missed it by one, but critics actually liked this movie better than the original by 2%.
Wow.
It was a 55 on the original.
Okay, okay.
And now we go. Yeah,
I mean, geez, still 55 and 57 is still kind of.
It's super close. But
well, I mean, it's a bit mediocre. It's like it's a 50. You know, good movies aim a little bit higher, but once again, it's a Stephen King adaptation, so.
Normally, they're bad. Maximum Overdrive.
Maximum Overdrive is awesome, Jeremy. We're going to get to that one, too. Wait, is that covered as a... I'm going to look it up real quick.
So,
oh, wait.
Audience score yeah. on is from a scale from 0 to 100. How do y'all think the audience liked it? PJ, we know you love that one. I love Children of the Corn. It's stupid as crap. But Ezekiel, God, I love him.
I'm going.
They will bathe in their blood.
Matt.
Raven said a 75. $46.58. Just waiting on you, PJ.
Oh, yeah. It's a horror film. Maximum Overdrive is going on the list.
42. All right. Raven, you're Lewis. Reaper, I think I'm out of people. Yeah, I think I'm out of people. Dang.
Quite possibly.
Dang. Oh, you're Judd's dog that he killed when he was younger.
Okay,
that sure. wasn't Spot. He'd had a different name in this one.
Biffer.
like from Back to the Future, Biff?
Biffer. That's such a silly name. I mean, Spot's kind of just like a generic dog name. Like, what would you want to call this dog? Spot. At least Biffer was something that sounded like what a kid would name an animal.
I got a Swiffer. His name is Biffer.
Hey, Judd, it's your new dog. Oh, wow, I love it. What do you want to name him? Biffer. How about Spot? No, Biffer. Okay, Biffer it is.
Jason, I'm out of people.
Oh, can I just say I'm dead and call it a day?
Yep. You and PJ both are dead. And y'all won't be buried in the pet cemetery and brought back to life. This one got a 33.
So we all died.
Audience did not like it. The original got a 60 from the audience. So, but overall, Jason, I think you said you liked the original better, right?
You know what? Yeah, I can't really pick. It's just really hard to decide between these two because I like them both. Like I said, there's aspects of both that I really, really like. There's aspects of both I really, really don't like. So it's really hard just to kind of pick one. If you came up to me and was like, hey, we're going to watch like original Pet Sematary. And I'll be like, okay, cool. Sweet. And you go like, you like that one? Well, we're going to watch the remake instead. I'll be like, oh, cool, cool. Sweet. Let's watch it.
Yeah.
We're going to watch Pet Sematary too. Can I at least drink while we watch that one? Cause that one's pretty fun. Too.
I would watch them both again. But that is all the time we have for today. And we'll be back next week as we talk about the prequel to this one.
The
unnecessary prequel, just like we had an unnecessary sequel.
This, yes, we're going, and it is the prequel to this one. It's not doing some sort of weird Halloween thing.
I can't just wait.
Let you know that we're just letting you know that this one's actually a sequel to the original movie, even though it's like the seventh movie down the line.
So I can't, don't
ignore all the other ones.
I can't wait to cover the Halloween movies.
I think Texas did that. Like Texas Chainsaw was like the original Texas Chainsaw was like the focal point of the universe. And it was almost like a spectrum. You had like this timeline, this yep. like branching off timeline, but then they had prequels that went beforehand that
so
diverged into the original.
I was about to say, the way it works is Texas Chainsaw, they're all sequels except you have the remakes, which are to its own timeline. So you have a prequel. So you had the remake to the first one and then a prequel to the remake. And then you had Leatherface, which is a prequel to the original.
Yeah, but it was made like...
It's the last one that's been made.
Yeah, it's like it was made like 20, 30 years after the fact.
So...
Like we care at this point. Give us the original, call it a day. We're good with that. We don't need no other ones.
Like I said, when we get to Halloween, that'll be fun. But we will see y'all next week when we talk about Bloodlines. Don't forget, Movie Night Monday... We'll be streaming it. We'll be posting the Discord on the Facebook. Make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube. And we will see y'all next week.
Bye.
Good evening and good night. And fare thee well, for sometimes dead is better.
Fred Gwynne is so good.
Is something different.
Where do you think we should go?
Wherever.
Just enjoy every second of getting the heck out of Ludlow!
The hell is that?
First place I learned about death was a pet cemetery. The secret place.
I know him.
Generation to generation, dead things buried in that land would come back as something else.
Can you hear them?
Voices. I think something's wrong with Timmy.
He needs time to adjust.
The people built the pet cemetery to protect them from evil. That's not Timmy. Something's talking through him.
Mel, what have you done?
We have to find Timmy. Now stop this.
I held him the day he came into this world. And I'm gonna hold him the day he goes out.
Believe me when I say sometimes dead is better.